Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the On Enquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner. It is March Madness, but usually we are focused more on football now because Illinois hasn't been in the tournament. But we are going to take some time outside of talking about number one seed Illini, which I think 30 of the last 32 podcasts have been about. I didn't look into that, but that seems like a good guesstimate there. We are going to take a sidetrack here and talk a little bit about spring football because we were able to chat with Brett Bielema for about 45 minutes on Thursday, March 18th, the first day of the NCAA tournament with the first four. But spring football is just around the corner. It starts March 23rd. They'll start Tuesday, and they'll go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday throughout the rest of the month into April, and they will have their spring game, Monday Night Football, on April 19th. So the Illini will have a spring game. You will see it live on TV, and us media will get a chance to see probably some stretching and some warm-ups, and then we'll take all of that and figure out what this team is all about. But joining me today on the podcast is Joey Wagner, Illini Enquirer writer. Joey, we got to chat with Brett Bielema, which, man, it is a breath of fresh air to talk to an Illinois football coach and to be given like 2-3 minute answers and details about his program.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, it was like, okay, basketball starts so we can really fill our notebooks on these media availabilities. And now it's like, oh my gosh, Brett gives us a lot of information and he doesn't, you know, really leave a lot of room for interpretation. If this is what we're doing, this is how it's going to go. And it is refreshing. And I've really battled a lot with this, Jeremy. Like, I don't want to keep rehashing the comparison because I think it's March and I think it's time to understand that this is a new regime, but days like today make me step back and, for better or for worse, mentally make the comparison about how different things are between the way that Lovey ran things and the way that Brett ran things. And someone can make the argument there's no right or wrong way to do it. That's fine. But for us, in terms of the content gathering, this is a really good way and a really fun way.
And I think Brett does this for a reason, right? He doesn't just chat it up with the media just because he loves sitting there talking with you and I across from a computer screen all day. As we've gotten to know Brett a little bit through these, and I've met him in person for a couple times, for a couple minutes, he is incredibly detailed. There is a plan in place, man, and down to the detail. And you can tell he's a little bit more cuddly right now with the media than he was at Wisconsin. Because when I hear from Wisconsin writers, he was not very cuddly with the media. He did not give all that much. And if you asked him a question he didn't like, he would let you know it. Now, he's a different person. He's gone through different things since then over the last decade plus. But you can tell, I think he's taking the right approach for the Illinois job. You know, Lovie Smith, that can work if you're winning and you're at a program where there's a lot of supporters and you're winning and all of that. When you're not, you need to sell yourself. Or when you're a program that doesn't have much cachet, you got to sell yourself. And I think Brett, through us and through his media and public opportunities, he's gone out of his way to tell you, this is our plan, get on board. And he's been impressive doing it. And I think that's why when he first got hired, I think the reaction was, right? It was kind of like, nah, it didn't work out last time. They're going retread, right? But then every time he talks and every time you see him follow up with that action, whether it's recruiting or his roster or whatever, I think he's bought a lot of people and people have bought into him, right? And I think that's all planned. And I think, you know, being open with us, especially right now, makes a ton of sense. And it is a huge part of your job as a college head coach to sell. Right. You have to be a salesman And Brett Bielema right now is embracing that. Lovie Smith never really did. And that's fine if you win, but he didn't win. So it didn't help him.
Yeah, Brett knows that probably has to win over the good graces of some fans who have wandered astray the last few years, and of recruits. I mean, he wants this window, at least my read of it is he wants the blinds open. He wants everybody to look in and see what this is going to be. And he doesn't have to, you know, it feels like my guess is if a recruit's going into a Zoom meeting and they paid any attention or done any research, there's a baseline level of information they're going to have going in. And I think that accelerates and it lets him, he really cares to know people. And I think that, you know, get some of the, you know, the stuff out of the way beforehand, right? Some of the details, let's just get to know one another. And I think all of this is a master plan. Like you said, I don't like he hates talking to us,
no,
but I think there's a lot of things he would probably rather be doing. And that's fine. I mean, literally every single coach in the country probably feels that way, but he knows the value of the message he's putting out right now when it really needs to be put out.
Just like Brad Underwood. Brad Underwood yes. knows that, but he's very patient with us and asking questions, some more than others, and he answers those questions, and he gets his program out there. He's selling his program, and he understands the value of that. But I also think there is an authenticity to Brett, right? Like, I think he really is a people person, and he really is, you know, from everyone I hear from in the program, Joey, the family thing, everyone says, hey, we're family. From everything I hear, people say, hey, that's true, Jeremy. Like, he wants to know us, and he gets to know us, and we feel like we're more of a family. While Lovie was more just, hey, this is a professional environment, right? Like, we're employees. I'm your boss. This is the way it goes. Sure, he had good, tight relationships with certain people, but I do think in a college atmosphere, that stuff matters a little bit more. And, you know, you work maybe just a little bit harder. You want to drive just a little bit more for the guy who seems to, you know, really, really, really care about you, and you feel like is family to you. So it seems like, you know, that's working right now. Of course, as Brett admits all the time, Joey, it's the honeymoon. It is absolutely the honeymoon right now. They haven't lost any games. They're not 3-9 in year one, right? And it's like, do I want to be here? Right? Like, that's not what's happening. But, you know, with what he can control so far, I think he's done a really good job.
Agreed on all of that. Now let's pump the brakes. We're not getting a free pass into spring football practice here. Okay. So like that's where today we saw a little bit of that, the competitive side of Brett where it's like, hey, I want to be transparent and open with you guys, but I understand in doing that, I'm also transparent and open with Nebraska, who we're going to see week one. And we're not trying to do that. But yeah, I just think that for us, and I hate to make it is a breath of fresh air, but now we're starting to see the football nuggets as we get closer to actual football things, we're starting to see all of those kind of come to the table. And it begins in spring ball that starts next Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's get to talk about some of the things that we either have questions about or we're starting to get small answers about. And one thing that stuck out to me is off-season workouts. I've been hearing just little birdies, Joey, tell me, man, Tank's workouts, a little bit different. A little bit different. I don't know exactly, and we're hoping to talk with Tank again here soon about some of those specifics. From more of what I heard, he's a little bit more new school than Lou Hernandez was. I mean, Lou was big weights, hard work, right? All of that. But we're talking about pliability, all those different things. But also, you know, these guys seem, you know, winded by what they're going through right now. Even Brett mentioned that. So I know you talked to Vidarian Lowe about it, but even I'm hearing it's way different, but different in a good way so far.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of emphasis on stretching, on recovery, on resting and stuff. And again, you know, we don't want to throw Lou under because we know that a lot of people speak very highly of what Lou Hernandez did while he was in Champaign. But this is different. And it sounds like it's pushed in different ways. And again, if right now we're speculating a little bit, I've heard the same thing. Obviously I've talked to Vidarian, I've talked to some other people hearing some of the same things where it's like, hey, this is a really, really smart approach to how they're doing things. The guys are really, really buying in. And I can't wait to talk to Tank to understand a little bit about where these pieces come from and how they got put together, but it's different. And Brett said as much. They said, look, there was, you maybe I'm paraphrasing here, but a little bit of a shock factor, like those first couple of days, like this is very different. Some garbage can visits to get sick. I mean, this is like some, like that to me was like the old school stuff, right? Like that's what you always.
I was like, about. Do you want to say that? Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the, stuff like that, that, you know, they're still like, you know, it is a little new school, but they're not, you know, massaging their way through this. Like this is a really hard work. And I thought one of the interesting things Brett talked about today was these one-on-one battles they had in week six. And let's be honest, like those aren't new. No one's reinventing the wheel here with those. But the thought process it was what interested me. It was like, okay, it's week five. We see we're starting to maybe lose a little bit of that motivation or interest with a bunch of college kids in an 8-week run until you drop type of operation here. So let's change it a little bit. Let's start to light the competitive match in here and still get to where they want to go. And again, that's probably not new, but to hear Brett say that, that it was kind of eye-opening to me to say, hey, okay, I read where these guys were at, Tank read where they were at. So let's adjust and let's give them the workout, but let's put it in a different light.
Yeah, so it'd be very interesting to see, you know, how these guys look different and to talk with the players about how that, you know, change them, because you do see some guys that gained weight. You see some guys that lost weight. If you look at the official roster, which they just released a couple of days ago, so you can go up and down that. I didn't see anything that was like, whoa. I guess, you know, Shimon Cooper losing weight was a surprise to me, but I don't know if that's like he's going to play Rover or something. I can't look too much into that. Like Anthony Shipton lost some weight. Deion Pate lost some weight. So maybe he's more of kind of a three down lineman defensive end rather than a defensive tackle. We'll see what these guys look like in person, but this was an evaluation of their roster, seeing this movement, seeing how these guys go through workouts. And the coaches, due to an NCAA rule change here, at least for this year, were able to get a couple hours of being able to kind of, you know, teach these guys on the field through some workouts. Now, you can't have a ball out there. You can't do all that stuff. But they did see some of their movement patterns. And I asked Brett today, just how does he evaluate his roster? Like how much has he evaluated his roster through 2 months? And you can tell he's got a good idea. He's watched a lot of film of these guys. You have some people on staff who know these guys. I think Brett went in with a blank slate, but you know, Corey Patterson could tell him, hey, this guy can play, right? Or this guy might look good, but it doesn't translate on the field. This is what he's got to work on. Or guys like Pat Embleton can do that as well. Tim Knox that are on staff. But he did say he was maybe surprised by some positions. And I think for me, he might be surprised that, you know, Illinois, who struggled so much, what they have in the trenches. I think they got some depth there. I think they got some young talent on the defensive line. I think the offensive line has a couple guys who can play at the next level. And I think there's some talent in the defensive backfield if you can get the most out of it. But he also said there's some positions that concern him as well, and positions we've talked about a lot here, Joey. So obviously spring ball is that next step of evaluating this roster. And playing football, you'll learn a heck of a lot more about him than just, you know, running around in shorts.
Yeah, I think one of the positions he's probably, I would suspect he's happy with or maybe unexpected, is the running back group. That is a really talented running back room, and it was before they added Chase Hayden. And I know they're going to get Josh McCray, who's just going to be a freshman. That's a good room. And if you're, from what we think we know about the offense and what Brett Bielema and Tony Peterson want to do, that's a good sign for them to have a good running back room. And probably I would say tight ends too, with Luke Ford and Daniel Barker. But it's so interesting to see how they develop that. Like Brett talked about sitting kind of up in, it's his Zoom room, but for people who haven't been in there, like it's you overlook the indoor. Like it's a big glass door and you can step out a little bit. If I'm remembering correctly, there's a balcony where you can watch. So you're there and you're present. You're kind of the eye in the sky. But as he talked about, you're not right there on the sidelines, kind of peering over the shoulder of these guys who I'm sure feel this desire to impress the new guy because they want to play snaps in a football game. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you got to impress the coaching staff. So to be able to evaluate, but also to let Tank Wright have his space. And that's really important. He talked about when they came in January, they had the baseline tests, right? Where are you at right now? And if I'm remembering correctly, those weren't very fun tests. Like those were hard tests too. And now they're doing it again. You're seeing the improvement. And to get to that, they had to step off and evaluate in different ways. So it's so unique, especially with COVID and kind of the lingering just weirdness. I don't know how much of an impact it had, but it's in the back of my mind all the time. I would have to think it's in the back of a lot of people's mind all the time when you're dealing with something like that, to get the right evaluations and see how the pieces fit, all the while you're developing what the heck you want to do. And so there's so many different variations, and I think you can get a good level of information, but come Tuesday when they're out on the practice field, you're going to start to see a lot more of that kind of come to light and the pieces of the puzzle get put together.
One thing obviously we want to know so bad is, what schemes are they running? Like, what is the style of play that we're going to see for Illinois football? And if no one listened to my podcast with Tony Peterson, he was pretty honest about what he was going to do. I mean, when we got into a conversation about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it was basically like, yeah, that's what I want to run, is power run football, a couple tight ends if we have good tight ends, and they have some. And Daniel Barker and obviously Luke Ford is very, very talented. So I think that's kind of the style they want to run, with some spread kind of schemes if they have enough wide receivers to do that. So I think we have a decent idea of what he's going to do, like a little bit of Wisconsin, but a little bit of what he did at Minnesota as well. So I think you're going to have a power kind of run, but you're also going to have some spread elements of that, right? The defensive scheme, Ryan Walters played things with you a little bit closer to the vest, Joey, but we're starting to understand more. I mean, you're getting bits and pieces of this with how they're recruiting, right? You get Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson on your team to be an outside linebacker who's an edge rusher, right? A kind of old school, not old school, but a 3-4 outside linebacker, but not exactly, right? And that's what Brett kind of got into today, is you see Isaiah Gay and Owen Carney and Seth Coleman and Cooper Davis all listed as outside linebackers on the new roster, and that sends off a signal to me. This is definitely a different scheme, and I do think they're going to have a lot of three-man fronts. But even Brett said today, those guys will still play some defensive end. They're just going to be stand-up guys. They're going to see the field more. They're going to see more pre-snap motions. But then my last question in the press conference was about, you know, we want to pigeonhole you. We want to label what this defense is. Should we do that? Like, is it not that simple anymore? And he said, yeah, we're going to run 4-2 concepts. We're going to run, you know, maybe some 3-4, maybe some two-man fronts, which we saw with, again, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They started in a 2-4-5, I believe. So I think you're going to see multiple. I think it's going to be harder for us to just label things, because, you know, play to play, drive to drive, team to team, opponent to opponent, I think you're going to see a lot more versatility and a lot more, Joey, how would I say this? A lot more chess match with their defense rather than Lovie, who was basically like, this is what we do. And it was easy for offenses to figure it out and quarterbacks to figure it out. I think Brett's going to, and Brett and Ryan and Kevin Kane and Andy Boo, I think they're going to be a lot more hidden with what they do and be a little bit more versatile.
Yeah, I think for 2 months, Jeremy, you've been leading the charge of quit with the numbers and just use the word multiple, because that's what this is going to be. And we are seeing that. And there's going to be what's the base package going to be is really what it comes down to. And how all sorts of, what's fun about this is we're learning so much about all of these guys and the way that they go about doing things and how it works. But it's going to be different. And it's, I think we got so used, like you and I and everybody else on the beat, you'd see it's like, okay, he's lined up here, it's going to be this. And like, I mean, it's just, that's what Lovie did. And Lovie had a lot of success. No one's going to, in his career, not necessarily in Champaign. So like, I don't think anybody's going to, you know, it's, you can make the argument that it didn't work, and clearly it didn't, but that's what he did and that's fine. But you look at this and, you know, there's just a lot of different backgrounds too, right? Like all of these guys have different, you know, thumbprints on different defenses. So we're going to see that. And it's nice that, you know, one of the things that I was impressed with Ryan Walters is he didn't come in and say, surprise, you know, here's what it is and this is what it's going to be. So I think that multiple will really, it's got to help Illinois, right? I mean, we heard opposing pregame coaches and pregame pressers like, yeah, they pretty much do this and that's what it's going to be. And you could dial it up. Like, you got two tight ends, good night. Like, this, yeah. See you next week, this thing's over. And I think people will, whether it works immediately, whether it takes a year or 2 years, we're starting to see the pieces in place of just being versatile, being different, understanding where the college game is now, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah. Disguise. That was one of the words I was looking for. They disguise things, right? Like when they're trying this. So, okay. So I think we're going to find out the defensive scheme will be a lot different, right? And I think that's a great thing. Offensively, though, I do think we have a position that we're really concerned about because it hasn't been one that's been very good for Illinois. Let's talk about that when we come back from a quick break.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, Joey, we talked to Tony Peterson right after he got the job, and it was right after Brandon Peters came back, and both of us kind of like talked to each other and said, well, I guess it's Brandon Peters' job, and I think it is. I think Brandon Peters will be QB1 entering the spring, and I think he is the kind of quarterback, at least prototype, skill-wise, right, size-wise, arm strength, that's what we're going to see Tony Peterson recruit to, and it's what we've seen him offer. I think we've heard a lot of things about what these guys want to do by the scholarship offers they've put out. And as you said, pro-style quarterbacks are what they've been going after. But Brett did say some interesting things about Brandon today. Obviously, he said arm strength's great. He's got the tools, but we need to hear him talk more. And Rod Smith, I think, after a year, just said, hey, this is who Brandon is. We have to adjust to him. But I do think one of the things Brandon struggled with is when things go wrong on the field, he struggles to get his team out of it. He struggles to elevate his team. And part of that is communication. Part of that, he's got bad body language at times. And that Wisconsin game, the post-game press conference, I didn't think was a very good moment for Brandon Peters. Kind of like saying, oh, the receiver dropped this or saying that. And I was pressured all night. I don't think that was good. And then you saw Isaiah Williams come in. And the one thing I tell people about covering Isaiah as a recruit is he's got an it factor. He's small, but he is the biggest leader, one of the best leaders I've seen at the high school level. And when he came into the game, the team perked up. Now, sure, the games were out of hand sometimes, but the team, you could tell, perked up and played a little bit better, and he elevated his teammates along with just his natural playmaking ability. So he's obviously not refined as a passer. But, Joey, in my opinion, I think this has to be an open battle. I think, and from what I understand, Brett's going to allow that because he's heard about those things with Isaiah. And I think today, him bringing that up about Brandon, I think that shows that, you know, Isaiah's not the perfect fit here. But if he's the one who elevates the team, I think he deserves a chance, and I think he'll get a chance.
Yeah, and that goes back to just what we've talked about on the other side of the ball, catering your defense to who you have. If who you have on the offensive side at quarterback is Isaiah Williams, well, then you got to move things around to make that happen. And I thought that the comments about Brandon, we've been out of this Zoom for a couple, 2 hours now, probably, Jeremy, since we hung up. And I've gone back and forth a little bit on those because, one, I thought, okay, like this isn't new to us. Like we've known that Brandon's more of a quiet guy. We've seen it. And I think that personality can work if you want it to work, and you know maybe can't. It sounds like at Michigan that was, you know, maybe there was a disconnect there with him and Harbaugh and the way that he wasn't as vocal. And I thought, well, maybe Brett was, you know, just said that, and it was just kind of a gloss over type thing. And I thought, well, what we went back to at the beginning of this podcast, there aren't a lot of gloss over things, right? I think he said that on purpose. I think he wants to light Brandon, you know, get a little bit of a fuse there. But you're right about Isaiah. Listen to the post games when players would go in, and especially early on, we say, well, what about Isaiah? And it's like, oh my gosh, oh geez, this guy. And we heard some of that with Brandon. I mean, I remember Reggie Corbin telling us, like,
loves him.
Brandon, got it. He's got it. So,
of course, I will say this. Reggie had, I mean, Brandon was by far the most talented quarterback Reggie was ever with.
Yeah. So maybe that's not the best like line to draw there, but I also,
and Brandon does seem like a nice, like a good dude.
He's great. Right? I think he's hilarious.
He's really smart.
Yeah. So, and if that's the missing piece, you know, can this coaching staff connect with them in a different way to get that more vocal out of him? That's such an interesting storyline going into camp. I don't know if that's going to be a make or break factor, right? Like, I don't know if it's like, well, yeah, you know, he's not very loud, so he's not our guy. I mean, that's maybe not the best approach to have all the time. But the Wisconsin comments, and I don't want to rehash something a 22-year-old kid said 4 months ago, but to let people in a little bit, I think most of us on that row in the press box took our headphones off and looked at each other and was like, didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. I didn't see some of those comments coming. And to be fair, I don't remember hearing them much more after that. Granted, we didn't talk to him again for like a month and a half, but it's that is such an interesting battle, because I'm with you, Jeremy. I thought the way Tony Peterson, like his introductory press conference, I was like, that doesn't even feel like a battle at this point. Like, this sounds a lot to me like Brandon Peters. But then as you piece a little bit more together, I think there is a level of you're trying to light them fuse a little bit. And just, how close is that battle really? And we won't know that answer for about a month. But I'm really interested in it.
Yeah, I hope they give Isaiah a chance, right? And if he wins it, let him win it, right? And if Brandon wins it, he wins it. And I think Brandon will win it just because I think he's more of what they're looking for. And you know, I think he'll get the opportunity. Maybe a new coaching staff really helps him, but he's had two different coaching staffs, right? And he's still been inconsistent and inaccurate at times, and just hasn't elevated his team quite as much as his coaches have wanted him to. So I like Brandon. I think he's a very talented quarterback. And but if Isaiah gives you a better chance to win, if you can figure that out this spring, then you got to move forward with him.
I will also say, and this is the kind of the lingering thing over is, and I like Brandon too. I feel like I kind of dunked on the kid a little bit, or guy a little bit there, but
I love talking ball with him. He reminds me a lot of Wes Lunt. You know, he's a better, he can move more. I think he can, you know, do a little bit more with his legs. Wes was probably a better thrower, accuracy wise, but, quiet guys, you question how much they could elevate their teams, but talking ball with a man, they're a blast to do that with.
So here's a lingering question I have is, one, Brandon's probably the better fit in the system that we think we're going to see. And if he is, and they go a different route, then Isaiah can help you at another position of need, whereas Brandon cannot.
Yep.
So that is the other kind of piece in this chess match here is, one, you're making kind of a pretty big commitment there if you do decide to go a different position route with Isaiah. That, I mean, that's a big deal because it was appealing to him to be able to play quarterback in college. So that's not a move you can just make and walk away from. There's going to have to be some appropriate levels of discussion around that. But you help two positions in that case if that's the route that you go. And not only that, like the one position that you're helping, wide receiver, needs a lot of freaking help. So
I was going to ask you what position do you think was number one on Brett Bielema's, like, because he said he's concerned about some positions, right? For me, it's wide receiver. Like, I know linebacker has some depth issues, especially in the spring, and they need a lot of linebackers. But for me, like, you get Jake Hansen back, that just gives you such a boost. I think Tariq Barnes is going to be really good. I think Kalon Tolson, whether you play him as, you know, this weak side rover, whatever they're going to have in this defense, I think he can play that pretty well. I think Shamon Cooper still has plenty of potential, and he's just a really good football player. Whenever he gets on the field, he seems to be around the ball, so I just hope he gets more of an opportunity. There's not a lot of depth there, right? So that's a big concern. And then you add C.J. Hart, which obviously helps. But wide receivers, huge concern. Brian Hightower has talent. I think he can be pretty good for you. I think Jafar Armstrong was one of the most important transfers you can get. But outside of that, I don't know what to expect. I mean, I hope Kyron Cumbie or James Frenchie can help you in the slot and maybe all over the field. But on the outside, like Dalvon Campbell, you lost Casey Washington, Desmond Dan, like I don't know who the playmakers are there. And if you have injuries there, like for me, that's got to be another position that if they have turnover this offseason, I'm looking at a blue shirt as a wide receiver just to give me another piece who can make some plays.
Yeah, I would have said, Jeremy, probably 3 weeks ago, like, linebacker is a problem, in my opinion. And then Jake came back, and that really at least bought you a year to figure some of the rest of it out a little bit. And one, Jake is really, really good. Like, it bought you a year, but it also gave you, like, an all-Big Ten linebacker to right. put in there. But wide receiver, like, we talked about this and, like, the players who need to step up, and you could have made 10 of them as a wide receiver because there's just – like, Brian Hightower needs to step up in the sense that...
We didn't mention Donnie Navarro, by the way. Always overlooked. Even we overlooked him, Joe.
He's so overlooked, and he's so consistent. He's not, like, the big play guy, but he is so consistent in what he does. And there's a lot to be said to be the safety blanket that Donnie Navarro offers a lot of quarterback because the dude is almost always open.
Yes.
Like, it might take a second, but the dude is almost always open somehow. But, like... Hightower needs to step into that number one role. He doesn't, you know, I'm not saying he had a bad year last year, but now there's just a different expectation of what Illinois needs out of him.
Did you notice he was really good with Isaiah? Like, all of a sudden, when Isaiah came in the game, Brian Hightower became a playmaker. Like, it was just very interesting to me. Also, a guy moving back there, he's fast. I don't know anything else about him. Kamari Thompson, like, is that a guy that we should be like, I'm going to watch him. Like, can he do anything for you? I don't know. But if he could just run straight down the field for a couple times, maybe he can help you.
And the way we picture this off, and remember how much of a blanket the tight ends we suspect are going to be. And just their availability as pass catchers. They're not going to take the top off of anything. Daniel Barker might come pretty close as a tight end. Like, he's such a mismatch there.
Would he be, like, if we set, like, who's going to lead the team in receptions, I think I'd go Barker. It's him or Hightower, right?
Yeah, I mean, you think with Luke Ford's body and what we know of him, like, he would be a guy. But then the other part of it is like, well, I've got to see it at some point. Yeah. And, you know, maybe he didn't get a fair shake last year. I don't know. I mean, probably here's the thing, Jimmy, we'll probably never know on the record enough to report it. That's just a fact. Like, yeah. We just don't know. Maybe it was just he wasn't delivering. We don't know. Donnie Navarro, maybe just because he's so available. Like, he's just a
just
very
didn't play
available
very much last year. He just didn't play very much last year. Like, he fell down that depth chart. And I thought he should have played just a little bit more because, like you said, at least he gets open. Like, he just gets open. He could be a safety blanket for you. There just wasn't a lot of talent here that could get separation. And maybe that's a scheme. Maybe that's something Tony Peterson can really fix and maybe unlock with some of these guys. Because, you know, I don't want to put too many expectations on Patrick Bryant, who doesn't get here until, you know, June. I just don't know what to expect out of James Frenchie as a redshirt freshman. You know, Kyron Gumby, I think, could be a fun player. I'm really interested to see if Tony uses him in some, you know, jet sweeps, stuff like that. I saw him run that sometimes at Appalachian State. But this would be a running football team, that's for sure. And that's why it'd be interesting with the personnel at wide receiver. Is Isaiah Williams the guy to kind of, you know, give you your offensive identity? I don't know. I that's why I thought with Rod, but Rod went with Brandon.
Yeah, and, you know, we always said, like, Brandon could operate and exist inside of Rob's system, but that wasn't a system designed for Brandon's skill set. And somebody just, like, it was so good with A.J. Now, A.J. couldn't really throw the ball. A.J. Bush couldn't really throw the ball very well. But, like, the running part of it was a thumbs up. Like, with Rod, when he was there, he had, like, half of it each time. He had either the running element, but the passing just wasn't there. Or the passing, but the running was there, but it wasn't really there. And I don't think we ever saw Rod's offense at full go. And, you know, take it for what it's worth, I guess. I don't know why we didn't. And you can make an argument maybe we should have with Isaiah Williams. But so interesting. And, yeah, wide receiver, man. Year 150 in a row, we're talking about wide receiver as an issue here.
We talked a little bit about the strengths. I think the lines are a strength relatively for Illinois. I mean, we know Alex Palcheski, if healthy, will play. He's obviously not going to be available for the spring. So I think for a guy like Julian Pearl, this is a really beneficial spring. A guy like Brevin Jones or, you know, even a Jordan Slaughter Moses Okpala. I'm really interested to see what he looks like because
he looks huge. The videos we've seen, the dude is just terrifying.
I know what he looks like. He looks like an NFL left tackle, but like he was so raw in high school. I mean, he was new to football for the most part. But that body, he's all bus team. Like, is he a football player? Is he a left tackle or a right tackle? I'm really interested to see what he looks like. But Doug Kramer, Blake Jarisotti on the interior. One guy I think that could be a breakout candidate on the offensive line is Virtus. I thought Virtus was fine last year. I thought he was serviceable and solid.
And where he was in his development, that is good. Fine and serviceable, year one starter, thumbs up for Virtus Brown.
That's how Nick Allegretti was. Right, as a redshirt sophomore, and then he took off from there. So I think Virtus Brown could be really, really good if he takes a step forward. So those are some of the guys I'm interested on in the offensive line. But defensive line, you got something to work with there, man. Like Roderick Perry wasn't healthy for 3 games, and he's a really important piece. We had him number three on the guys returning. At least that's where I drafted him in our super seniors returning. I think he's so important at nose guard there. Jamal Wood just needs to stay healthy, but Isaiah Gay, Owen Carney, Seth Coleman, kind of as your rush linebackers. But I'm a huge fan of Johnny Newton. I think Johnny Newton can be great. Calvin Avery, not having to rely on him as your starter, I think is a great benefit for both him and Illinois. But they got a two deep there, Joey, that I think is pretty exciting. I think there's real talent. Like, you know, Keith Randolph, I didn't even mention yet. There's like, you know, 4-star caliber talent, like real Power 5 talent that, you know, Michigan State programs like that have had in the past. So I think at least for this year, offensive line, defensive line are relative strengths for this team. Obviously, the offensive line, I'm a little concerned about for the long term, but for this year, due to all the super seniors, I think got talent there, and I think there's some young guys. I'm really interested to see if they take the next step.
Yeah, defensive line, I'm probably a lot just in terms of the depth. I think the ends are probably a little bit better right now, or there's more depth on the ends than in the interior. I'm a huge Keith Randolph fan. I just think he's going to be really, really good. And because he was, you know, fairly raw coming into as a freshman, I mean, he did not play football for very long and really kind of went to football kicking and screaming a little bit. Like, this dude was a basketball player. And this development with him, and I'm with you too, Johnny Newton, man. I am all the way sold on this guy. I think he's going to be good. I had Calvin in our who needs to step up probably higher than I should have, just given the fact that Rod Perry was back. But if someone can get the talent out of Calvin Avery that Calvin Avery has, suddenly your however many guys you're going to put on that defensive line, that's good. I mean, you can sub him and Rod Perry out if you can get the level of talent to the top, man. That is a really good interior. And then you still got Jamal Woods in the mix.
I mean, all you're counting on Calvin is, what, 20 plays a game, right? Like, you know, 20 plays a game. And we saw against, I thought, Penn State. He made some plays. He was like one of the huge bright spots for that game. I mean, the defense was awful in that game, but I thought he made some plays. So I think there'll be, you know, is the defensive line top half of the Big Ten? I don't know, because the Big Ten's so dang good. But, you know, for Illinois' sake, I think because of all those super seniors, I think they could be pretty solid. The secondary was one of the most disappointing groups on the team last year, Joey. They do get Tony Adams back. They lost Nate Hobbs. And you know how big of a Nate Hobbs fan I am, and I'm even bigger of a Nate Hobbs fan after what he did in his pro day. Just an elite athlete. And he had a bad year for him last year. There's no question. The tape was not good. It's a huge question for NFL teams. And that was reinforced yesterday with what I was told. But Tony Adams does come back. You got Devin Witherspoon. The ultimate X factor is Marquez Beeson. I'm really interested to see, you know, what he looks like, what his confidence is, because he was definitely not confident last year. He wasn't very physical when he played, but we know, you know, even that first week of practice, the only week of practice we've actually seen him, he was dominant as a true freshman in his first week of practice. If he gets that back, if he's fully healthy, we know he can be a player. But safety was one of the worst positions on the team last year. And Sidney Brown had a bad year. And he had a really inconsistent sophomore year, even though he was an all-Big Ten third guy. But I think Quan Martin should get a chance there. You know, Eddie Smith is coming in the summer, but Prather Hudson is here. I think he'll get a shot if he can be reliable, if he can be there. He's not as ripped as Fedge, but if he can be there, hey, this is our strong safety, comes up, makes tackles. I don't think they'd be afraid of coming up and playing him. I think Sidney Brown's best position could be nickel. To be honest with you, I think he's better in the box. But you know, Derek Smith had a bad year. Sidney Brown had a bad year. I thought by the end of the year, Quan Martin was their best safety back there.
Yeah, I've kind of tried to like level this out in my mind because I'm still pretty high on the defensive backs at Illinois. Like I know relative to the rest, I'm with you. Like I think there's some pieces back there, even without Nate, but they just underperformed time over. So if Ryan Walters, who has a background with defensive backs, like that is a specialty for him, if he can get them to where their potential is, yeah. Dude, Quan Martin, remember how good he was as a freshman? I think it was his freshman year, maybe.
Yeah, I think Isaac Trotter and I would remind you some of those. He had three picks, right, in his freshman year, his true freshman year. Some of those were fortunate. he had some fortunate picks, which happens. I mean, every DB gets some fortunate picks. But yeah, I mean, he was you know, early in the season was a bright spot. Now as the season went along, he got picked on. But I think safety is his natural position, and he's a good athlete. He's rangy. I just haven't given up on him. I've never given up on him because I still think he's got a good skill set. I do think there's talent to work with. And, you know, with Ryan Walters and Aaron Henry, both those guys walk into that secondary room. Not that Lovie Smith didn't, of course, right? But both those guys walk into that room with all conference credentials as players, but also are pretty proven coaches. So I think Aaron Henry's kind of the hype man there. And I think, you know, for Devin Witherspoon and Marquez Beast, and I think he'll be great. But also Ryan Walters, kind of this calm, cool, collected, you know, more cerebral guy. I think that can really help guys like Sidney Brown.
I will say about Aaron Henry, I talked to somebody earlier this week or late last week, one of the two, and their words were he's a rising star. He's going to be a coordinator one day. I mean, he's very, very well thought of in this field. He's played, he has an ability to connect. And I kind of feel bad looking over him and going right to Ryan Walters, but there's some guys there who can really maximize that potential back there. And I forgot a little bit about Devin Witherspoon. I shouldn't have, obviously.
The best corner last year. Best secondary piece, I think, last year.
There are pieces there. And you know, again, what will the system, how much of the system will allow them to be the best version of themselves? But I think if you look at this, like, that's a spot that if I'm the coaching staff from an outsider's point of view who hasn't watched these workouts with Tank and been in on the film study, I'm kind of feeling pretty solid about. I really, really am. And, you know, I don't know how much – I don't expect any of the freshmen to contribute right now at all. But
yeah, I think guys can get in the. I think there could be one in the two deep. Jorial Washington having an injury. I'm high on him for the long term, but I think a guy like, you know, Daniel Edwards or Tyler Strain could find their way into, you know, the fourth or fifth cornerback spot.
Like Devin Witherspoon did.
Yeah,
like Devin Witherspoon did. So I just think there's enough there, and you look at the front end and the back end and good and. Now that Jake Hansen, you kind of feel better about the linebacker, but an alternative universe when Jake Hansen does his pro day yesterday, you're looking at this linebacker room like, oh no, like this is not great.
Yeah, because, I mean, Tariq Barnes and Kalon Tolson had you know, ACL injuries. Shimon Cooper had an ankle fracture. So, I mean, maybe I don't know this for sure, but maybe Shimon could get back for some practices. I don't know. But you're going to be very short. You're going to be playing a lot of walk-ons. Dylan Roziek is going to get a lot of reps in spring ball. So good for him. But you're going to have a lot of walk-ons playing at linebacker. So 4-2 makes a little bit of sense, especially in spring ball. We forgot to mention this. No offense to him. But maybe a not so positive sign for the wide receiver room is Caleb Griffin getting reps at wide receiver. I love Caleb. Caleb's awesome. He's a really good athlete. Obviously, the best punt returner on the team last year just because he caught the ball consistently. But he's going to get a chance, Brett said, to compete for the kicker job. I mean, James McCord has proven himself as a solid Big Ten kicker. But Caleb, I think, can be that as well. But I guess George McDonald saw him in workouts and said, hey, can we get this guy in the field? And Brett said, I want his energy. I want his leadership. Caleb's just a program guy, man. But do you think we'll see Caleb Griffin actually get reps at wide receiver during the season, Joey? I don't know if that'd be a good sign for Illinois, but I would love it. I'd love to cover it for Caleb.
I think it'd be fun. Look, Caleb's a really good athlete.
Yes.
Like, he's just a really, really good athlete. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I hope we don't have to cover that story for Illinois' sake, because, hey, listen, can Caleb do it and do a serviceable job? Probably, because Caleb's a fantastic athlete and a great kid and a great program guy, as I said. But that wouldn't be a good sign for Illinois' wide receiver corps, in my opinion.
Look, I have been saying this for a year now. We need some fake field goals out here, because Caleb Griffin is going to make those things happen. So let's wide receiver, more like, you know, place kicker / fake specialist. That's what we need from Caleb Griffin. Like, that would be great to see.
I mean, I do get why they'd want him just involved.
I do, right? Too. I mean, and I'm not trying to diminish.
Because
he's obviously got good hands. And, like, we've seen it even just, like, when we could go to camp, him kind of messing. Do you remember him and Trayvon Sidney?
Yes, I was about to bring that up.
One-handed stuff, and I'm like, what? Like, yeah. You're just booting through 50-yard field goals like 20 minutes ago.
Is that that was like the go-to thing of Trayvon Sidney's career, was just practice one-hand catches. Like that's what he did. I mean, he suffered so many injuries. I feel bad for the kid, but Caleb was there and Caleb would do the same thing. Caleb gets involved in everything, man. Like, he wants to be
everywhere.
And you know that from Danville, because he played every sport. Like, he would get involved and play baseball, soccer, basketball, football, whatever he could get into, he'd go and play. Like, he just loves being involved. I know he's a huge Illinois fan, like basketball and all these other sports. He's supportive of everything. Just a dude Illinois is fortunate to have in their program. And I think Brett Bielema already can feel, you know, the positivity he brings.
There's something about him. The kid's going to be a coach one day. He just is. And it just, but between now and then, he happens to be a really good kicker and a really good athlete. And you just can't have enough of those. Brett's talked about it since day one. Tough, smart, dependable. You're saying everything about Caleb Griffin. And you're right. I don't want to cover it in the sense of, like, you know, Illinois kind of got dunked on a little bit when they put a kicker back there last year to field punts. Like, people nationally and around are like, what the heck is going on here? And I would expect maybe a similar reaction if he lines up at wide receiver. But those of us who cover it know, like, this isn't some burning fire out there, right? Like, he can do it in a serviceable enough way. But if it gets to that point, then you're starting to look around a little bit and be like, I don't think this is great. Right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing that, like, in a non-conference game, cool. Like, hey, these cute stories, you're up by 35 points or something like that. If you're having to put him out there against, like, you know, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
I don't think you want those stories to be like the Monday story. We go, God, we got to write something positive about these guys, right? Like, let's put this story out there. I don't think that's what you want to do. All right, Joe.
The running back distinction. That, I mean, at least for his last game, put P/RB.
Oh, Blake Hayes. Sorry, I talked over you.
Like, come on. That's what we're – I mean, he is a running back in our hearts.
The best juke I've ever seen on air. That certainly certainly is the case. You mentioned running backs. I just want to mention the running backs, right? Like, Chase Brown, Chase Aden, Mike Epstein, Reggie Love. I think that's your top four. Ja'Kari Norwood, Nick Fidanzo, and Josh McCray. Like, that's a really good group. I think you got – I mean, Mike Epstein we know is really good when he's healthy. A huge Chase Brown here, fan here. I mean, he's so good. He's just really talented. And I don't even think he's refined yet as a running back. Like, I think there's things he can clean up. Chase Aden, we know if healthy, kind of like Epstein, he can be very effective. And he just seems like a good presence, a veteran presence. And then Reggie Love, I think, has some, like, Reggie Corbin type, you know, jukes to him, but he's also got some size there. And, you know, Wisconsin wanted him. So I think Brett Bielema, I know he wasn't coaching there when they offered Reggie Love, but I think Brett Bielema will like Reggie Love as well.
Yeah, I'm actually a really big Reggie Love fan, especially in this system. And, you know, you can just imagine a spot where it's just to wear you down with the stable of running backs that they've got. And that's what Brett, again, it sounds like that's what they want the offense to be.
Yeah, and Tony Peterson, you know, sometimes people are like, well, only two running backs going to get touches. Tony Peterson had like four running backs with 60-plus carries at Appalachian State. So I can see them, you know, running through a lot of these guys, especially now that we're getting back to a 12-game season here.
Yeah, that's going to be such an interesting dynamic to follow, because we get – and so do fans. I mean, everybody who watches it gets so caught up in the yardage, right? Like, okay, they wrecked – and, like, there's a lot to say for that. Like, the more yards, the better. That's not – news, but I think if you look at it and kind of understand where you're sending in a fresh guy and there's just that burst, like, I think the way that we expect this offense to run, they actually walked, like, the wide receiver is a problem. We have covered that time over. But you get an offensive line, if you're Brett Bielema and Tony Peterson, that's experienced, that's got talent. And then you've got a lot of running backs who have talent and, for the most part, have experience. You can do a lot with that. You just can't.
A pair of tight ends who I think, you know, if healthy, I don't like the depth at tight end, but you got two tight ends who I think can be very effective. And at least you have a quarterback who has a lot of experience in the Big Ten that kind of fits what you want in your scheme. So there's some working pieces there. And I think that's the biggest thing Brett Bielema probably sees is, you know, I have a roster that has holes I need to fix for the long term. There's a lot of work to do for the long term of this program. But as a starting point, he's not coming in to what, you know, Lovie Smith I thought Tim Beckman actually took over a solid program. But I think he's taken over more what Tim Beckman took over, which was a roster that didn't live up to expectations the year before. But still, there's talent there. And I think there's some next level talent that if coached well and if put in the right schemes, unlike Tim Beckman, I think you have a good starting point to where you can win 5-6 games and you can have, hey, look what we did year one, more recruits buy into this. I think you'll probably be a little worse off next year, but at least you'll have a good starting point to start your program.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we should say, if there's no super seniors, if the NCAA doesn't pass that, this is a tall order.
Let me go down that. What would be your starting offensive line? Jordan Slaughter, Virtus Brown, Julian Pearl, Jarisotti, because you get a medical. Brevin Jones, Pfeiffer Griffin, Blaise Sparks, right? Like, that's what your offensive line will look like. And some of those guys can play, I'm sure, but it's just a lot more questions. Defensive line,
you'd same be thing.
Calvin Avery, Seth Coleman, Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, maybe Jamal Woods if he's back, which there's some talent there, but we're talking about a team that I don't think is going to be very competitive.
So here's the thing. I mean, I know we've all, you know, over the course of the last 2 months, we've kind of parsed through, like, is this in a better, you know, is this roster really in a better place than it was 5 years ago? Depth-wise, this roster is not in a great place in terms of depth. But if you just look straight up at the number ones because of the super seniors, you can make an argument that this roster is in an okay place today. A year from now, totally different discussion we're having. Yeah. You're right. But – and we'll see how they do the transfer portal and what kind of, you know, work they really put into that. But, man, it just step back and think, if there's no super seniors, where this is. And it is tough. It is just a really tough place. And Brett Bielema recognizes that. He's not blind. He said, like, hey, this is a positive for us. We're getting these guys back. Thumbs up here. We're happy. But, man, there's just not a lot of depth right now to this team.
Anything else you want to add, Joey? Anything else that stuck out from today with Brett Bielema?
Hey, we get some spring access, right? Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a fun spring. We'll be able to go for, like you said, some stretching and whatever that entails at 8 o'clock in the morning and maybe a little bit of a cold champagne day. But just the access to talk to some of these guys again, and we're going to talk to assistants and to Brad and to players. That's going to help because we're like everybody else, we're trying to piece together what this is going to be. And you don't just piece it by only talking to Brett, or you got to get a bunch of different people. So credit to him. I know he's still got the secrecy thing that he wants to hold, and I get that. That's fine. I mean, it is what it is. I hope it's not as similar in fall, because yeah. I know you, like, we loved spending all those mornings. Yeah.
No, it's great to get there, and it's going to be great just to see these guys in person again, even if it's just a long distance wave. But it will be nice to see these guys a little bit and just to see what Brett Bielema has in store. But, you know, Lovie Smith and Ron Zook and all these coaches, Tim Beckman, they had the same thing, media access for spring ball. Spring ball is a little bit more secretive because you don't want to show everybody your hand. But Lovie was open in the fall. We're not sure how Brett will look, but, you know, Brett has had, you know, I think Illinois just has a history of, you know, hey, fans, you know, come see us, come support us. And assuming we're a little bit different of where we are in August with vaccines and all of this, I think Brett will be pretty open to having some open practices and scrimmages and things like that. So I think fans we'll probably eventually, based on history here at Illinois, have that opportunity as well. We will cover the heck out of spring ball. We will be there. We will tell you what we know. We will tell you what we hear, and whatever we see in stretches or what a guy looks like in position drills before we get kicked out, we'll have full coverage of that. So check us out at Illini Inquirer for that. Signing off for Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Werner. If you don't have us, subscribe to us, rate us, review us wherever you get our podcast. We appreciate when you do that. Appreciate a little football talk in the middle of this basketball madness, but we'll get to the basketball content right next after this, because we got an NCAA tournament game to recap after Illinois against Drexel on Friday. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.